I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a fandom inclusion and community podcast that's part of the Gun and Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on this network are individually owned, and the opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other really interesting geeky shows at gunandgeeknetwork.com.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
I am the Green Arrow.
The Green Arrow has entered through the front door.
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper. We call it the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor tonight. My name is SP, and my other reporters for this episode number 240 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
You look shocked. Is it the beard?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's the beard. There was no gray in it. There was no ghostly factors in it or anything. There was no vertigo around. We'll talk about it later. And Michelle.
Hey, random question. Did you add another hero to your Justice League?
It happens all the time, but just not this episode. Oops. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, May 9th, 2019, live on www.geeks.live.
That's right, and this evening we'll be discussing the latest episode of Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could, and let's be honest, probably will impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as the shows in the greater DC universe. That includes The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and anything else that comes up between now and then.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Thanks, guys! And now we get into the penultimate episode of this season. Michelle, go ahead and break it down for us.
Sure thing. This episode is Living Proof, Season 7, Episode 21. It aired Monday, May 6, 2019. Directed by Gordon Verhoeven. Credits include 2 Andromeda and 6 Arrow. Written by Oscar Balderrama. Credits include 2 Eli Stone, 1 Drop Dead Diva, 19 Arrow, and Sarah Tuckoff. Credits include 6 Vixen and 13 episodes of Arrow.
We had a stacked full of 4 shows this past week. Everybody's rushing to their season finale, and I'm talking about the CW shows that are DC comic book related. On Sunday, the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo, Supergirl aired the 20th episode of the 4th season titled Will the Real Miss Tessmacher Please Stand Up to a live rating of 1.05. On Monday, before this episode of Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow aired the 14th episode of the 4th season, Nip Stuck, to a live rating of 0.94. And following that, Arrow aired this episode to a live rating of 0.63. Ouch, but it's okay, folks. And then Tuesday, the 7th of May, Flash aired the 21st episode, their penultimate episode too, I believe, of the 5th season, to a live rating of 1.45, The Girl with the Red Lightning. All right. That's okay. Ratings. And as we discussed before, they don't really factor into the network's decision. They just use the online ratings and the live plus 7-day DVR. So I think we're all good here. So with that, Michelle, let's just move into the overall theme for the episode.
Well, you know, sometimes I wonder if the title's ever going to be said, and it wasn't said until near the end, where Tommy tells Oliver that he is living proof that people can change and better themselves. Could also possibly say that applies to Roy. Dinah tells him that he needs to work on bettering himself after killing those guards, and he should use every day to do so.
I liked the Tommy and Oliver conversation at the end. I'm guessing this is going to be the last time we see Tommy. No, maybe not, but I'm guessing it's the last time we're going to see Tommy. And I think it was really well. I caught on to the fact that there was no way Oliver was going to get out from underneath that big concrete slab. So I knew he was all daydreaming the entire time because there was no drugs around, at least not that we could see. And he was just hallucinating the whole time. But that final conversation, which Oliver is really having with himself, but as the viewer, we're seeing Tommy there. I think that really set the tone to what's going to happen for the rest of the season, possibly the rest of the series. I really enjoyed it.
What did you think, Chris?
I think it set things up nicely. Like I said, I enjoyed seeing the actor come back to portray Tommy. I do think that he may come back for Crisis, because what kind of mind twist would it be if all of a sudden a Tommy Merlin from another Earth shows up as part of Crisis, which kind of gets into Oliver's head. But I liked how Tommy was basically the voice of Oliver's conscience, but personified as someone that he could relate to, someone that he felt that he has failed to an extent, but someone he's also had a relationship with. So the byplay back and forth between the two actors came out really well. I kind of miss him on the show, despite the fact we don't really get reminded of Tommy very often, especially in these later seasons. It's not like season two, where every other episode for a while was like, oh, Tommy's dead. Tommy's dead. Nowadays, it's like if they mention him once or twice a season, that's all we get. So I liked it.
The reason I really enjoyed it was because Tommy was the friend again, right? The heartfelt friend that we knew that Oliver and Tommy really were, right? Not just frat boys, but really honest to goodness friends. And you got that dynamic in here. The actors have both progressed marvelously. It was great. And then you got the setup for Emiko can either be redeemed, or at least they're going to give her the chance to be redeemed. And Oliver did that at the end of the episode. And right or wrong, it's how the rest of this is going to play out.
It made me miss Tommy so much. It was interesting to see how the two actors still had that friendship chemistry, considering that it's been six seasons, really, since they've actually had that like friendship, you know, interaction.
Yeah, Tommy died at the end of season one.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, with that rebarb comment, for those of you who don't remember, that's how Tommy died.
Yeah, he was impaled on top of rebar. He wasn't underneath concrete slab, but it was still concrete and rebar that did Tommy in. It was his own dad that ultimately killed him with the whole Glades thing.
Speaking of buildings and concrete, man, you know, all of Team Arrow are human. I mean, Roy has like maybe Mirakuru and now the Bloodlust thing. But man, they got really lucky surviving a building falling on top of them. It's like the only casualty was Dinah's bow.
And their masks.
And Diggle's helmet, too. Yeah, so they couldn't communicate. I think that's what the whole thing was there. They wanted to take away his helmet so he couldn't communicate. Okay, I got two things that we can go over here. The first of which is there's been so much damage in Star City that there's been a little shoddy repair work with buildings as they get put back together. And instead of the intense concrete slab that is, I don't know, a foot and a half thick, it was just a bunch of styrofoam with rebar that was running through it.
So basically you're saying they're using like recycled plastic and styrofoam stuff to make their buildings now?
Yeah, environmental friendly. Of course, the repair work to buildings. Yeah. So, and that's why it fell apart so quickly, the whole building. Not necessarily that Emiko placed charges in everywhere that she needed to.
Well, I mean, it makes it really easy to get building materials in if they're super lightweight. I mean,
yeah,
you save on labor and you save on time then, I would think.
So it was really the weight of the rebar. And rebar does weigh a ton, but it was the weight of the rebar. It wasn't the pancaking, crushing thing that a slab of concrete that thick would do. So that's number one. The other thing is, well, you know, they all have suits of armor on, so maybe the armor is actually protecting them.
But not their heads.
From internal bleeding and like, especially like the way Renee was and Oliver. I mean, I know this is a superhero show and we wave some stuff off, but even I have moments where it's just, come on, guys, there's no way Oliver could be pancaked between two big things of concrete for that long and just come out with a dirty uniform.
Well, he had like a cut on his head, too.
Oh, such an owie.
He's got, you know, that massive chest that we always see on the salmon ladder. So, yeah, you know, it's just, oh, yeah, that's how he's able to do it. I agree. I'm not going to push this any farther. I agree. It was kind of really silly watching it. And I was just enjoying the ride with Tommy as far as Oliver's concerned.
To crib a phrase from Neil, how this all worked, it's because plot. That's why he was able to survive being sandwiched between two concrete slab.
So you're Beth Schwartz. You've lived through some of the horrible things like the end of season four and the ballistic missile coming in and everything. you've lived through that on screen, and you're like, I'm not going to do that. Everything's going to be realistic. And then you pull this. It's like, all right. Just got to go with the intent, right? So the team is lost in this building that Emiko has tried to kill them in, basically. And she says this. She was surprised that they... So this was not Emiko thinking that they were going to survive. Emiko was trying to kill them, flat out. And there was... That was supposed to be it. And they survived. So kudos to Team Arrow.
And we had that moment where the generator kicks on. And because this is an old chemical plant, it would be bad if the electricity sparked and made the place go boom again. And they had to, they found the generator. They had to turn it off in 8 minutes. But then there was this benzene and they could die if they breathed it in. But then we had Parkour Genius Roy activated. I loved seeing that again.
Yeah. Okay. True. So first of all, how did Felicity, was she able to calculate that 8 minutes is all they had? I don't get that. Like the fumes for the generator are going to spark out in 8 minutes.
Well, it was the gas. Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. We're talking about, I don't know, best guess estimate or to go back to Neil again, because plot.
Well, exactly. So there's no way that Felicity can calculate that out. There's no scientific way possible. She's not that good. She can understand the chemicals involved. She can communicate the seriousness of the threat, but she can't lay out the, it's got to be done in 8 minutes. Okay, that aside, let's move on to Roy, because Roy had that awesome flip arrow thing last week that we talked about, and then he's got this week. I got a question, though. All he had to do was not breathe it in, right?
That is my understanding, was that it was breathing it in so that you bring it into your lungs and it spreads from there would be the problem. But I wager skin contact's probably an issue too, but I'm no expert.
They didn't mention that. They just said breathing. So if you don't take a breath for 2 minutes and you're able to shut off the generator, you're good.
That is true.
You know, he jumps down in there. It's clouded. So he's holding his breath. He's got to walk forward and find the off switch. I mean, it's thick yellow stuff. And then he's got to go back and then jump back up. It's Roy. I can believe it's Roy because he is the, you know, the Parkour genius.
Patent pending.
Good enough. Okay. We can go on to the next thing. Now, it was a cool scene. If you could get beyond the unbelievability of the gas. But yeah, he was prepared to sacrifice himself. I think that says a lot about Roy.
Sometimes when we have moments like that where you need to try and get to the believability of things, I've had to force myself to do this more often than not on all of my TV shows, not just this one's big. It's a comic book show, Chris. You've seen crazier things on the printed page. Just let it go. Just let it go. It's a comic book show. They can do these crazy things that you're like, how the hell would that happen in real life? Well, it doesn't matter because none of us are all Olympic caliber athletes that can do ridiculous stuff.
10-year-old Chris is going, yes!
Exactly. The child that lives in my head is like, this is awesome.
30-year-old Chris is like, what the hell, man?
Man, I wish I was just 30.
Another thing we got from Roy was more flip kicks in that fake fight. I mean, it was all in Oliver's head. It was Tommy showing Oliver what it's like to lose the family all over again. But we had more flip kicks.
I love it.
And another thing with the action in this show, it was mostly... They made a conscious effort to show the faces, like they were actually the actors that were pulling off, not all the stunts, but a lot of the stunts. So I give them kudos for that. Like a lot of the Oliver Queen and Emiko fights was actually them. Again, fight choreography. Yay. It's not the intense stuff that we saw back in season 2, but it's still good. I mean, it's just like a notch down from that. It's good.
I agree.
We finally learned the Night Circle's actual plan, which is they took Archer and they took the weapon. The plan was to, well, get rid of the heroes and then frame them for killing all the cops, but then taking the weapon. And then Archer, which belongs to Felicity, was the program to trigger the device. So I guess the device is supposed to be the big bad thing that happens perhaps next week that they have to stop. And I guess all the vigilantes are going to get blamed for that. And that's why they're outlawed in the future? Question mark.
They seem to be hinting at that. Maybe it just Felicity might be taking the blame for a lot of things here. And that's part of why she's going into hiding. Not just that the police are after her for a tape, as we find out. But maybe somehow she takes the blame to try and keep the heat off them. And it all falls apart as part of season 8 and ends with vigilantes hitting that point.
She's going to leave the show after next episode. And I think they brought up something really interesting in future because they brought Elena in the future. So they kind of backfilled us on what happened and that everything that we said about Elena was true, basically, right? Because we did this a couple episodes ago. And that might be part of it, too. You only have one more episode with Emily Bett Rickards. So they're going to have to wrap up everything with her until maybe the final, right? Because we've all speculated she's going to be back for the final, maybe Crisis or whatever. But she's going to leave the show and she's going to be gone. And we know she lives, at least in the present, because she has Mia. And they've already showed that to us. But she's alive in the future for now. I don't know. I'm thinking she's going to sacrifice herself next episode. And that's kind of sad, but think she goes into hiding because of what Elena does, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Not necessarily because anything she does.
So in the future, if she sacrifices herself, is that when Oliver shows up, or are we still committed to the theory that Oliver's dead as of Crisis?
I don't know.
I think that would be a pretty crazy reveal that no one's expecting if you get a future Oliver Queen that shows up in the finale. Now, that makes a lot of people scratch their heads and go, what does this mean for Crisis then? Because, like I said, everyone thinks he's going to bite the bullet in Crisis.
They have not committed that they're doing flash forwards next year, have they?
Not that we have heard yet.
Yeah, so that could...
I would assume, based off where we are in this story, that there's probably more to be told than in just one episode.
In the future, you mean? In 2040?
Well, didn't they say something about casting someone to play John Diggle Jr. in the future?
Don't know.
If true, that would mean that they would have episodes in the future, or flash forwards, or whatever. Yeah. Good call. I don't know. I don't think he makes it to the future. Or if he does, it's through some timey-wimey stuff through Legends of Tomorrow or something.
There is an article, just quick Google foo, that Cinema Blend has the headline, Arrow isn't giving up on flash forwards for season 8.
Okay.
And that there are multiple sources reporting that an adult John Diggle Jr. was cast. So
I don't know. They could go both ways right now.
Yeah, and in the future, I think it's interesting. I really feel for Samantha is actually William's mom, right?
Yes.
And it's like everybody forgets that because he's like, you know, tells Felicity, I needed a mom. And they call, you know, him the son of Felicity and Oliver. I mean, Felicity is like the stepmom and stuff, but it's like, you know, he had a biological mom who loved him, you know, and was with him for the first 8 years of his life.
Played by Anna Hopkins, my Anna Banana. Yes, Samantha Clayton, of course. And it's her parents that William goes off with, too.
And I still don't get why he's so angry. I mean, he decided to go with the grandparents that we saw in the future. Oliver tries to call him, and then for some reason can't get through. I know Felicity said we wanted you to have a normal life. That's why we didn't bring you back in. But I'm wondering if part of it was the grandparents helping to build that wall. And I don't mean to be cruel or anything, but I understand. I don't, you know, for him, he's talking like Oliver was alive, or maybe after Oliver died, Felicity didn't bring him in. I don't know, but it's not like he was left in an orphanage or something. He was with family. I mean, yes, he was hurt and he felt abandoned, but he at least was with family and he had a good education and he had love and he has a great company and everything. I don't want to belittle William's pain, but I don't really get why he is just so angry that he goes off behind Felicity's back and gets himself captured.
We don't know when the grandparents pass away. So maybe that happened and he did end up in like in an orphanage or something like that, or in foster care.
You know, and regarding his future actions, I think he went and did them partially because he's mad at Felicity, but partially because he felt like he was being discounted and could, you know, contribute. And all she kept saying is, no, I don't want you involved. No, I don't want you involved. So there's the lingering anger with Felicity. There's the anger of her saying, I don't want you involved. And then him feeling like, I can do this. I want to prove myself, all came into play, I think.
Yeah.
Mia has a good point. She tells him, you should just go confront her like I did.
Yeah, be direct. She was married to Oliver Queen. She's kind of used to that.
Yeah. When he ran up and thinking he could do things, he ran up there. I mean, I would have to think that in the time since I last saw him, what's the guy's name? The corporation, the Galaxy One guy?
Dale.
In the time that it would have taken since he first saw Dale, I would have assumed that Dale would have done some investigation. Maybe he's pieced it together, maybe not, but I would not have waltzed in there without any contingency plans. And he did. Okay, maybe this is William just not understanding how this all thing is done, but I think he's smarter than that. So I had a little issue with that as well, but okay. So he did it. He gets caught, and in the future, they got to save both of them. So we'll see what happens there. And then to get back to your point on his relationship with Felicity, yeah, it's just not all adding up, which again is not like Beth Schwartz because she's put together a really good season. So I'm looking forward to some explanations next episode.
Because William wasn't with Felicity, what, like maybe, well, that those months when Oliver was in prison, that was like 6 months. I mean, they were, you know, like a year and such, but yeah, there's a lot of holes in there for me when it comes to William and Felicity.
Although Felicity does just turn around and stop talking to him when the whatever flashed on the screen, right? And that's when he got disgusted and left. I could take that. I mean, you're having a serious conversation and you're trying to lay things out. And then all of a sudden, Felicity just gets distracted. Oh, I got to go take care of this. Without it so much as, we're going to talk about this in a second, or come over here and help me with this or anything like that. So he just leaves at that point. I don't blame him for leaving at that point, but I do blame him for going into Dale's office.
Yeah, but it's just the kind of thing his father would do. His father would do the exact same thing.
Yeah, it was interesting how Renee was like, dude, you almost blew our cover right there in the office.
Yeah, it's not like it would be unheard of to have cameras in a CEO's office to watch what's going on or anything like that. I mean, they did not try very hard to maintain the secret after they covered up that they knew each other. Because plot, I guess?
I think that's the third time you've said that, Chris.
I'm trying to find a better way to explain their reasoning there, where they would feel that, yes, just because the guy left the room, they could speak in open about secret things. I don't know, maybe I'm paranoid, but I'd always expect, if I'm in the big bad CEO's office, even if he's not in there, I'm still being watched.
I agree. I just am befuddled as to, in an advanced time, this is 20 years in the future. I mean, we have devices recording us now if we let them in our homes with these smart home devices. Just think of what 20 years is going to do in a corporate office with security.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things that was mentioned in the future at the beginning of the season was the tattoo of the four pointed compass that was supposed to be like the four aspects of a hero. And we actually learn that it comes from Oliver's hallucination with Tommy, because Tommy actually says, be the best parts of yourself, your loyalty, your selflessness, your courage, your compassion. And those were the qualities of the four pointed star compass or whatever from the beginning, way from the beginning of the season, and has never come up again.
Do you think that they're going to get the tattoos next episode or sometime next season?
Does Felicity have one?
I don't think so. If so, we haven't been told about it or seen it. I wager that next week's episode, they're probably not going to have enough time to go and get tattooed. So it's either going to be an off season or a season 8 thing, I think, where this happens.
All they have to do is show them starting the tattoo and whoosh, the whole team has one. They've done it before.
Well, no, I mean, but the way they're setting up, like the cliffhanger we end on here, it looks like we're moving right into that with the next episode. So if you're up against the police officers and also trying to save the city, I'm not sure, unless it's at the very end of the episode, where you'd show them getting tattoos. And I'm assuming the final part of the episode is going to end on some kind of cliffhanger or emotional heartstring pulling.
I hope that sergeant makes it through. I guess the inference is he doesn't, but he knows the truth now. So it'd be nice for him to make it through. But I guess in order to make the future happen, he doesn't make it.
Probably not.
One of the things that we were surprised about in the future was how nobody knew that Felicity was pregnant. But we find out, I mean, I made a list. Correct me if I'm wrong. The people who know that Felicity's pregnant, besides Felicity and Oliver, obviously, are Diggle, Elena, Emiko, Laurel, and Nyssa. That's five people. It's not so much of a secret. Is there anyone else who knows?
Those are the only ones I can think of, but we've seen how good they are at keeping the secret. So maybe there's more people that know. I don't know.
We talked about Dinah last episode, and of course she can't know because of her surprise in the future, right? So that's another plot hole that we find it difficult to believe. It's not impossible, but it's difficult to believe that one.
Well, I mean, if Felicity does truly leave town at the end of this, at the finale for season 7, it's more likely because they're not going to see each other. So it's a lot easier to keep that secret. If you're doing video calls, you just do calls from about mid chest up and things like that. No one will ever know.
Do we think Oliver dies or is maybe taken by the Ninth Circle? I never really thought about kidnap.
Next episode?
Well, it's got to be resolved somehow, and he wants to get through to Emiko's humanity. And maybe instead of, well, he doesn't want to kill her or something, maybe he gets taken by them.
Here's the delicate nature of the timeline of the show in that respect, is we know that he goes off with Felicity and is there for the birth of Mia, because we've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be difficult for him to be taken away and then come back for the birth. Not impossible, I guess. So you do have to keep that in mind. Is in a few months, he's got to be back for that.
Okay, he lives the blah, blah, blah. And then he goes away for crisis?
Yeah.
That's what I'm starting to think is that, yeah. I don't think they'd end this season with him kidnapped because that's too similar, or him being off the board because it's too similar to what they did last season, which is Oliver's off the board because he's in jail.
I watched the trailer after the episode because it was on the DVR a couple of times. I did not see one picture of Felicity, one image of Felicity in the trailer. Now, she might be there and I just might have missed it, but the way that they're playing her leaving the show, they did not throw that in the trailer for the episode at all.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's got me scratching my head. Maybe they want to catch people by surprise that don't know, that don't read the news or something like that.
So, Chris, is there anything else about the episode you want to talk about?
Yes, we had a reference to Batman Beyond and a spinoff of Batman Beyond, because in the commercial in the future, they were talking about, what was it, the Zeta Army, which is kind of a reference to the Zeta Project. A lot of people are theorizing from Batman Beyond, which was a robot called Zeta that then spun off in its own cartoon. So if that is in fact what it was, I love it, because Batman Beyond is still one of my favorite DC programs.
The other thing that we have to look forward to is the complete destruction of the Arrow Cave yet again. And I don't know if that we're going to get that next episode or if it's going to be next season, but at some point that is going to happen because that's the way it is in the future.
Do we think Emiko will live?
They want us to think she's going to live now that Oliver has seemingly resolved the fact that he doesn't want to kill his sister. I think someone on Team Arrow is going to have to put her down. I don't think she lives.
This is going to be difficult. If she lives through this and then they bring her back for the next 8 episodes or whatever, they could throw her through a redemption arc and then she could appear in the flash forwards. But that would be weird for her to be redeemed in the flash forwards and not in the past. So I think just by continuity that way, I think whatever happens, if she lives, she doesn't, that she doesn't appear in the future as a redeemed Emiko.
And I think next episode, we need to see that the Ninth Circle is also behind what's going on in the future, because they spent so much time this season building up the Ninth Circle and how secretive they are. And how long they've been around, behind the scenes, bankrolling evil things. I do think we need some sort of appearance of them in the future. I don't want the Ninth Circle to be completely dropped.
So put yourself in Beth Schwartz's shoes. She started out the season and she might have had a plan for the season. And then in the midway through the season, when they only had, 5, 6, 7 episodes left to shoot, congratulations, you're getting another season, but it's only going to be 10 episodes, and you're losing Emily. I mean, that's tough to have to course correct. That's like the Vigilante a couple of seasons ago. And I mean, I think they're doing the best that they can, but that's always the danger when you get renewed and you're not expecting how you're renewed or who you're losing or anything. So I think they're the writer's room and Beth Schwartz is doing the best she can. It's just got to be a lot to deal with.
SP, anything else you want to talk about with the episode?
I'm done. Just waiting for the season finale and Emily's last episode next week.
I have to remark that Emiko got into the bunker as usual. And then after she left, then Felicity activated another security system. What? I like that she had the canary cry thing as a security measure in her, well, smoke tech room. That was neat.
Yeah, that was cool.
Security of the Arrow Cave is and Star Labs. It's just never going to be great.
It's never been good. Let's look at the history of this show. They'd be better off just like meeting in the middle of the streets somewhere, I think, than in the cave. Going back to season two, well, maybe even season one, didn't Malcolm Merlyn attack the basement of the club?
You know, I thought that was cool because we learned that he's from the League of Assassins. So someone like, if it was just someone like him doing it, that I think would be like, it would have really established just how cool and, you know, dangerous Malcolm Merlyn was. But then it sort of became like this running gag that anyone could just walk into it.
Well, I think it worked in season two also, because it kind of just showed that Slade Wilson on Mirakuru was a one-man army, because he just walked into the cave and started decimating everything. What cave? The basement of the Verdant. I think it worked there. And then I think it kind of became, for lack of a better term, kind of a gimmick or a trope that got revisited a lot, which is, oh, they're breaking into the cave again. Here we go.
Multi-leveled cave, too, because we know it's got multiple levels to it, I guess. Anyway. Yeah, well, the destruction, it's like the Enterprise in Star Trek. At one point, you know that it's going to get exploded or crashed into another ship or crashed into a planet or something.
Well, I expect we're going to learn how the bunker is destroyed in the season finale next week, which is called You Have Saved This City, Season 7, Episode 22. It will air Monday, May 13th, 2019. The battle between Oliver and Emiko comes to a boiling point, which brings back some familiar faces and leaves others in dire jeopardy. Directed by one of our favorites, James Bamford, written by showrunner Beth Schwartz and Rebecca Bellotto.
Live from the Starling Tribune main news desk on floor 52 of the Starling Tribune Tower, it's the weekly news roundup with award-winning chief news anchor Michelle Ealy. And now, Michelle Ealy.
Don't have any Arrow news this week, but I have some general news. First off, really good news. The CW has approved Batwoman. It's going to be in series. Along with the announcement is a first teaser for the series featuring the iconic bat symbol and our first look at the show's logo. Played by Ruby Rose, Batwoman made her Arrowverse debut during the season's yearly crossover event titled Elseworlds. Even though Batwoman will follow Kate Kane's exploits in Gotham City, the series will only get as close as it possibly can to Batman without ever physically introducing him. As for his alter ego, Bruce Wayne, he remains off limits for the foreseeable future as far as the CW is concerned. So the Batwoman show is really going to be about Batwoman. I am happy. I know it's another show on the list. Some have theorized that because Arrow is getting the 10 episodes that perhaps Batwoman has either like a 10 or 13 episode order and will be a spring show to take over Arrow's time slot.
That would make sense.
I was thinking about the Batman aspect to it, and I was going back to Supergirl. Supergirl did introduce Superman, and then they had to get rid of him eventually. So they acknowledged him in their universe. They got rid of him. I think you can successfully do the Batwoman show without Batman. I think it'll be better off for it in this universe. And the other thing that I would really want to see is we've had that nod of respect between Supergirl and Batwoman already. And I would love just for the two of them to have their own crossovers from time to time, because I think it would be great for both shows.
And finally, Chris has a fun little news piece for us.
That's right. So guys, everyone's watching Jeopardy right now because we got the guy that is dominating the Jeopardy boards and pretty much just owning everyone each week. And last night on Jeopardy, they featured a question about DC's Legends of Tomorrow, though sadly, no one could successfully answer it. But for comic fans like us, it was the reference to this TV show where they said, quote, Filipino martial arts training helped Katie Lotz play Sarah Lance, the White Canary, who leads the time travelers on this DC show. And of course, we know the correct answer. What is DC Legends of Tomorrow? DC's Legends of Tomorrow, excuse me. So that's cool to see one of these shows pop up on Jeopardy. I love it when there's Jeopardy stuff like, ooh, I got that. And then no one else gets it because it makes me feel smart.
You are smart, Chris. It was great to see, and it was great to see Katie Lotz just geek out over it. It's like, oh my gosh, it was actually on Jeopardy. Yeah. So congratulations. It was a great thing to see. I think I first saw it on Instagram. So yeah, I do follow her on Instagram, by the way. She's got awesome training routines on her Instagram. My gosh, that girl can work out. Ooh. And it's not like, you know, like workout, like, I don't know, jazzercise or something like that. She's doing like combat workouts, and it is just amazing to see her do that.
I know Jeopardy can be so random. It's interesting. One category can be 18th century European monarchs, and the next one could be video games. I know nothing about 18th century European monarchs, but when the video game category shows up, I know all of those. And it's just interesting how some of the pop culture or geeky things, the people on the, they're just like, silence.
Yeah. What was that movie that came out a few years ago? It was about the very first game show that was fixed. It was about 21. Can't remember the name of the movie, but you got to remember that these are for entertainment purposes. They're not really a competition. So when it comes to the producers wanting to manipulate the gameplay, they will pretest their contestants. They'll know where they're strong and where they're not, and they will deliberately put up categories depending on where they want the game to actually go. So just keep that in mind as you're watching this stuff. But at the same time, some of these actual categories are like, wow, that's cool. I really want to see the answers to those. Or, man, I'm dumb. I don't know as much as I thought in life.
That is quite true. It's not as bad as watching me watch A Wheel of Fortune, where if I get one puzzle in an entire show, it's a miracle. I don't know how people do that show.
True story. One time, my mom was watching and there were no letters at all. And it was a celebrity. And my mom said Roger Moore. And that was the answer.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Freaked her out. Well, anyway, that's all we have for the news.
Well, on that note, then, I think it's about time for us to start shutting this thing down. So a big thank you to all of our viewers and listeners who participate in the chat over at Geeks.live. That is the official streaming home of the Gunna Geek Network. So that means that's where the Starling Tribune and many other shows do their live streams. But also a giant thank you to everyone who has downloaded the audio version of the podcast over at StarlingTribune.com or has caught the video replays over at YouTube.com/GunnaGeek.
Just a reminder, if you happen to have an Amazon device in your house, you can enable Starling Tribune as a skill. Just say whatever your activation word is, enable Starling Tribune. You can get full player control of our episodes. And then Michelle has been active, I think, since the news has been active again on all these shows. Now that the spoiler period is over with Avengers Endgame, everybody's coming out of the woodwork and actually putting their news out. Over on the Discord server, that's GunnaGeek.com/Discord, you're posting on multiple channels. There's the TV and film channel, there's the Starling Tribune channel, and then you're also an agent over on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., so you post over there as well. So Michelle is great to follow wherever she is, including our Discord server. And remember, you can always catch us live as we record Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern and 4:30 p.m. Pacific on Thursday, and you can find that at www.geeks.live.
We would love to hear from you. We're the Starling Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starling Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, this brings us to the end of another great episode. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag styrofoam construction.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag it's the penultimate episode, Haas.
And I am at Michelle Ely signing off with hashtag poor crew genius Roy activate. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gunnageek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.